the show. Well, hello everyone and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host Lisa Anderson and I'm here in the studio with Sarah and Steve. Hey Sarah and Steve.
Hey Lisa.
Hey. And also have Julianne by phone. Julianne, hello.
Hi.
She is calling us from Nashville, Tennessee, where she now lives, though she's originally from Alabama, so I have to give her credit for that, too, which is interesting because I was just there at NRB, obviously. You remember from last week when I called in and gave you all a shout. Very fun. I'm back, although I got sick on my way back. It was very depressing. I got massively sick with some kind of flu-ish craziness that I've had a fever for the past 4 days, but I just stumbled in here to record the show today, and so I would appreciate some credit for that. I'm just saying. So anyway, I had a great time. We have our interview with Keith and Kristen Getty coming up in the next couple weeks, and I saw them at Nashville. It was very fun to reconnect with them, and then I went to their concert at my church the other night. So I've literally followed them around to three different events.
Well, and that's after they were here for chapel.
I know. So now I've now seen them in three different locations and basically just pop up in their lives continuously. So I did get my photo taken with them in Nashville, which, you know, I just had to do. And I look like, it's like they look totally normal, like they're posing for an album cover. And then I'm just kind of there, like I just popped in like a weird stalker. So anyway, but they were very gracious about that. And the other night after church, they actually, I mean, and this was like a big concert at my church, okay, like a couple thousand people. And they invited my friends and I to come and join them at Old Chicago's for some food. So wow. We are in the inner circle with the Gettys.
Now, why wouldn't they take you to the Irish pub or something?
Well, we could have done that, the one downtown, you mean? But Old C's, that kind of has like an Irish vibe too, okay, I think. Yeah. So it was kind of, that concert, I've just got to tell you guys, was amazing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you think of the Gettys and we sing in Christ Alone and stuff like that, but they brought their whole Irish band with them. And it was amazing. And I'm going to say that I go to a Presbyterian church and I had the full on extended hand raise going on.
Come on, Lisa.
I did.
What's
and
Mark
gonna think? That's usually only reserved for the Gaithers. But this was, you know, because sometimes I do just the crooked
maybe it's
arm.
Maybe a G thing.
Well, it could be. What, you know, sometimes I just do the crooked arm where it's a half raise palm up. But this was like the full extended arm, like up with the palm to the ceiling.
Wow,
so that's a totally different. That is a totally different level. So anyway, you can see the photo of me and the Gettys on Vanessa Myers. I mentioned her last week. Bless her heart. I'm going to give her a shout out because I don't know what possessed her to create a little fan page for me on Facebook. Bless her heart, that is the cutest thing ever, but that's where my picture with the Gettys is because Vanessa took it and has now started an album of Lisa and her fans, which she included the Gettys as them, but really I'm the stalker in that shot, let's be honest. So, very cute. Anyway, you can find that on Facebook. But okay, so now we're going to talk about, Julianne actually wrote into us with a story that she had that I thought was great, and I think Sarah and Steve thought so as well, and so we decided to feature it here. But Julianne, tell us a little bit about what you wrote to us about.
Okay, I am on staff at a PCA church. Lisa, I believe you go to one as well. And I work in children's ministry and have gotten to know families over the past 2 years that I've been on staff, and I've babysat since I was 11, but really about a year and a half ago started realizing that families were just desperate for babysitters for their date nights. And you know, they're pretty intentional about getting babysitters for when they actually had to go somewhere, but were always a little bit hesitant about asking me to babysit for date night. And so the families that I'm regular for, I just started telling them, hey, if you need a date night or if you need a weekend away, I would love to be available for that. And they definitely pay me the same amount, but just kind of that intentionality of saying, hey, you need this, and kind of just looking at it as my role in the advocacy for marriage. Now, I'm single. I don't really have a ton that I'm able to do in that realm, but just seeing that as such a piece of the puzzle where I can give them that opportunity. And part of the blessing is that I'm 25. I'm able to do that for, you know, that they need to go away for a weekend. I'm not 14. they can actually do that. But it's been a real blessing, and it's been amazing to watch the families just kind of utilize that in a proper way. They don't, thankfully, don't really take advantage of that But it's been amazing just to watch the marriages grow, and it hasn't been any drastic, like, my marriage was awful, and then you came along, and now it's great. But just marriages that I've, some people I've known for 10 years, but just watching the blessing that that's been on their lives, and by extension, their kids' lives. Since I do work in children's ministry, I'm able to be a little closer and have a little more access to families. But it's also been fun to plug some of my friends into these families' lives as well. You know, Nashville's such a hub of, I feel like, 20-something people that it's been fun to be able to plug my friends into other families' lives that I may not have time to keep their kids or be a part of their lives. So it's really just kind of been my advocacy for marriage.
Well, God bless you. I just speaking as the married guy in the room.
He's pulling out his calendar right now.
As kid. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out when you're going to be in Colorado Springs. No, actually, you know, my wife and I have just been blessed so much by people like you who have not only been available, but have demonstrated some of that intentionality in terms of saying, hey, I want to be available and I want to do this specifically as a blessing for your marriage, because we all know that parents are able to parent best when their marriage is strong and when they have the opportunity to invest in it. And that's one of the things parents tend to put on the back burner. Especially as their kids are at a season where there's a lot of demands, the investment they make in their marriage usually is secondary. But also, I'll say even what you were saying about proactively introducing them to friends of yours when you're not available is big as well, because I know one of the biggest struggles we have is so many of the people that have babysat for us. It is because they're in a season of life where that works and that most of them are in transition. And so many people who have babysat for us are either now married, they have kids of their own, they've moved away, they're into a different education program. And so what's really blessed us is not only the people who made the investment, but then the people who introduced us to their friends when they moved on to a different season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's cool. There are a lot of different... you know, it's funny because you get some singles who are like, and I think this happens occasionally in the church where it's like, hey, you know, you're single, come watch our kids, you know, and have this be your ministry or whatever. And they're, you know, I've had a lot of that growing up and stuff like that. But one thing that some friends and I did was, and we did this for several years running, was especially around like prior to Christmas, we did kind of a big thing where we got a few of our houses together and just opened it up like to the young families in the church and let them drop their kids off while they went and like Christmas shopped or whatever, or just went out and just took a break for Christmas or whatever. And we kind of divvied it up, like one house was infants. And so we had like, and of course we had to like have people bring their stuff because we don't just normally keep a bunch of playpens sitting around a single people. But so we did that and other ones. And then, you know, it was like fun to get the guys involved because we put them with the little older kids and they did games and stuff like that. So that was really a fun thing that we had the chance to do. And it also allows us to get to know some of the young married couples in our church so that we're not kind of getting into our little silos and ghettos of just hanging out with our own demographics. So so that was really fun too. I know I've also had the opportunity to really, several of my very close friends are married with kids, and I've definitely done the runs where I'm on hospital duty, like when the next child's born, you know, I get the other kids and have them and stuff. And that's just really, really fun. Oh, I do that. I get the kids and then I go and pick up the obligatory Starbucks and then go to the hospital, you know, to the delivery room. So that's kind of the transition that I've made. But I've told this to my friends before. In fact, one of my good friends, I remember having this conversation with her and I said, you know, I am here I want to help you fight for your marriage in whatever way I can. And I mean, I know that just our culture in general is tearing marriages down in any way that it can. And so I think that it's great for friends. And I do that in many ways by encouraging my friend to praise, you know, her husband, by myself praising her husband in front of her and stuff like that. And just encouraging both of them in what I see them, you know, doing in their own relationship and stuff like that. So I think that's huge.
Well, I think it's an important way that we can support and encourage marriages. I know my sister and my brother-in-law, they have three little girls, so I'll often babysit for them, and I know it's a huge blessing for them, and even sometimes for my sister, if she just needs to run to the store or do some errands, it's a relief for her not to have to pack up three little kids in car seats and take them with her. So I think as single people, it is a good way that we can contribute to the marriages around us, and I believe in the principle that we reap what we sow, and I know when I get married, I sure hope there'll be some generous single friends out there who will help me babysit my kids.
Well, and it's a good heads up. We just had just a flurry of babysitters just recently. We had all kinds of activities around the marriage simulcast and other things that were going on. And boy, this one girl really ended up being kind of a shock and awe for her of what, you know, what might be ahead of her, because she caught our kids, you know, really bad timing. And this one of them happened to make a pretty bad mess in his pants, and is a kid that should be potty trained at this point, and she's having to deal with this, not knowing what she'd walked into, and had to overlap with the next babysitter who was coming in, and she's asking her, is this what being a parent's really all about? Is it this bad? Mm-hmm. And, you know, not that we all need the shock and awe, but it's good to see both mm-hmm. the challenges as well as the fun times. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, really, there's some really cool, fun times you can have with little kids, especially if you're willing to be a fun captain and get in there and get on the floor and be active. And mm-hmm. to be honest, that's a blessing for us when young, fresh 20-somethings come into the house and relieve us as almost, I mean, we're starting to edge up on 40, and we don't quite get down on the floor and stay quite as active with our kids as babysitters often do. And so mm-hmm. I think our kids enjoy someone who's a little fresh stepping up and being the fun captain for a little while.
Steve's just like, hey kids, pull out the encyclopedia and just start reading it and give us a report by the end of the day.
What are you saying? That's not fun. Right.
That's awesome. So I will say that in one of my babysitting stints, I did get proposed to by a 4-year-old. So there are opportunities out there, ladies. I'm just saying. I should have taken him up on it, quite frankly. He's probably like, I don't know what he is now.
Well, I think it is good preparation for single people for their future parenting days. And I personally like spending time with little kids and hearing them talk and investing in their lives. And they're just so teachable, and you can work with them, that it's a pleasure for me to spend time with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I see it also as an opportunity for a natural mentorship with the parents. You always talk about having mentor couples, and, you know, I always think I've got like 8 of those, you know, because after the parents get home just sitting and talking, and 3 or 4 couples really have just become intentional about investing in my lives and me just gleaning wisdom from them as well. And it's been a really, really fun benefit that I didn't necessarily think of ahead of time. Some of them have older girls, you know, 6th, 7th grade girls that the moms are just begging me, you know, please hang out with her, talk to her, just be her friend, because, you know, they just need that so desperately, as opposed to the, you know, 12-year-old friends that they have.
You know, that's good. At the same time, too, I think about the mentor relationships we develop with some of the people who babysat, that sometimes it's a little confusing for the kids, where we'll have them come back over strictly in a mentoring relationship, and the kids are all frustrated because they're trying to get them to go play, you know, the Cowboys and Indians or whatever, and they're saying, okay, all right, stop your serious conversation. We're supposed to be having fun now.
You're my friend.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
What are you doing tying up our fun captain with all this talk? Mm-hmm. Do fun stuff. But that's good.
Get these people back that will actually get on the floor and play with us.
That's right.
So, mom and dad, go on
Give
another
us a
date.
Break from the encyclopedias.
Exactly. So, well, Julianne, I think that was a great idea. I'm glad that you wrote in with it, because it just gave us a good springboard for discussion. And I think there are many different directions you can take this. I mean, young couples, I mean, this is a great example of the intergenerational nature of the church and how that needs to happen. And just another thing that I think of, maybe we'll have to talk about this in the future, is the opportunity we have to minister like to widows, for example. That's something that I like to do, is round up like widows in our church who maybe don't drive or who don't, you know, when I'm going to Target, I'm like, come on with me, you know? So that's just another example of that. So anyway, well, thanks, Julianne, for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Being part of the show all the way from Nashville. So when I go back there, we'll have to get together and say hi, have coffee or something.
Yeah, GMA week. Are you coming for GMA week?
You know, I don't know if I am. I do often, but I'm not sure I am this year, so.
Okay, well,
we'll see.
Definitely holler if you but are.
I will do. So, all right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye y'all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
As much as it's been said, the flowers really need the sun. And the more the rain keeps falling, the rivers need somewhere to run. And as far as I can tell, the whole world needs someone to love. And every heart is looking for something to be enough. And so it looks like
everyone, for this week's culture segment, I am joined by Jeff Buchanan. He is with Exodus International. He's actually Senior Director of Church Equipping for Exodus International. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey. Jeff, tell us a little bit, just give us the kind of the elevator pitch or speech of what Exodus actually is so that everyone out there knows, even though most people are probably familiar. But
yeah, sure. Exodus International is the world's largest network referral organization, ministry for specific ministries that are helping to equip the church, educate the church about the issue of homosexuality, and helping to minister to those who are dealing with unwanted same-sex attractions. We've been in existence since 1976, and currently we have over 230 different member ministry organizations and churches within our network and continuing to grow.
Cool. And I, as I just said, you're Senior Director of Church Equipping for them, which is kind of when I first read that, I was like, oh, my word, you know, what kind of job title is that? I mean, do you just have to call churches and set them straight? I mean, is that kind of your, you know, kind of, you know, basically calling up churches and saying, anyway, here's how you're doing it wrong, so let me help you. I would imagine that'd be quite a daunting task.
Well, yeah, it is a little bit overwhelming because it's completely all comprehensive, but mainly what my responsibilities are churches that contact us and they're looking for ways to be resourced and to be helped and to know how to better and more effectively minister in this area. That's what my job responsibility is to resource and to educate and equip them to know how to do that and to help their churches to be more effective with that as well. And then also creating a referral list of churches that would be safe places for those who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attractions to find a place where they can worship and a place filled with grace and truth and where they can continue to grow into a mature disciple of Christ.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we're going to be talking about a couple different things here. You're actually involved with the Day of Truth, which is coming up on April 15th. And I just want to encourage everyone to kind of listen in to this segment for a couple reasons. I mean, there are a lot of folks out there who in our audience who either maybe themselves are struggling with same-sex attraction or have a family member or a friend who do. And I think there are just a number of different things that we need to kind of get your wisdom on in this. I want to tell people dayoftruth.org is where you can find info about what Jeff and I will be speaking of in a moment here. That is actually a in fact, I'll just kind of introduce a little bit of what it is. It's been around, I guess, since around 2005 when the Alliance Defense Fund launched it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, and it's really an event. It's an event on campuses for Christian students to have an opportunity to express their views about issues related to homosexuality and same-sex attraction and kind of express them in a loving way, in a way that kind of gets the conversation started, which is actually this year's theme. And I think it's interesting. Again, I said it's on April 15th, and it's a student-led event. And Exodus has since taken this project over, I think as of last year, right? You've taken this event over from the Alliance Defense Fund.
Yes, we worked in partnership. Worked in partnership with the Alliance Defense Fund beginning last year, and then this year is where we are solely responsible for carrying this event on.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it's interesting, and I just want to talk generally for a second here, Jeff. What would you say? I mean, we have a, you know, our audience is mostly young adults. We have listeners who are in high school, but primarily college through 20s and 30s. What would you say, as you've worked with the church out there, is the general, you know, if you picked Becky, kind of that young adult Christian, what does she know about homosexuality and about same-sex attraction, whether she herself struggles with that or whether she doesn't? What does she know, and how is she or is she not equipped to even talk about it?
Well, I think there are a number of different types in regarding people that are out there and different levels of information that they do have. I think there are those who have been raised and have very little understanding about the issue of homosexuality, that they just have a very limited perspective of that. And all they know how to articulate is this is just one view as far as what the Bible says of it being homosexual behavior being a sin. And that is as far as that they can go. Then there are others who have are kind of in the mix of our culture that have been compromised in their point of view and are really questioning as to whether or not what the Bible says is true or not. And I think there are just a number of different perspectives that are out there. And what I'm hoping that this event will do was get conversations started from a biblical perspective and biblical worldview, get an accurate picture about what the Word says about relationships, sexuality, and faith, and to just initiate conversation and also to help resource everyone to know how to talk about these issues and to give information in their hands about, you know, an accurate perspective from a biblical standpoint on what God says about homosexuality and biblical sexuality, and then also extending the love of Christ, showing grace and mercy, and just helping to reach out to not only those who struggle, but also those whose view may not necessarily be coming from a biblical worldview.
Yeah. So what's a good way then to do this organically? Because I'm and kind of the concept of this happening on campuses is a good thing. And like I said, you know, for those of us in our 20s and 30s, this is something we could easily topics we could broach in the workplace or as we're hanging out with our friends. I have several friends who, you know, who are homosexual. I'm just wondering, this conversation doesn't happen organically. It's not often that I'm sitting with a friend having coffee and I'm like, anyway, so about same-sex attraction, let's just talk about it. So what really is a springboard for that?
Well, I think I'm going to encourage everyone to not do this alone, to find some people that will be willing to partner with you and to do this as a group. I think a way to do this is also, well, there are a number of different approaches. You can, you know, let your school or let your community know that this is something that you're going to be promoting and sponsoring and that you're going to be having it on that day. We're providing a number of resources and supplies to help kind of start those conversations, such as T-shirts and posters, just to make people aware about what the day is about. But also, that, you know, working with your local media, there's a number of ways there to kind of get the word out and say this is a day that we're going to be promoting and talking about this event. But I think there is a way to do this also organically, in the sense where relationships and such. I mean, many young people and such, the topic of sexuality comes up quite frequently. And I think that there's a way to graciously begin to bring this up and talk about, you know, what does God say about our biblical sexuality and to initiate those conversations. I think we have to remember that Day of Truth, we're not wanting this event just to be only on April 15th. We're really wanting every day to be Day of Truth and it be an event that, or it be, you know, a subject matter that people are discussing quite frequently and consistently in order to get the message out.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of to illustrate that, Jeff, can you tell us a little bit of your own story? I know you were a Christian who struggled with same-sex attraction, and where, I mean, obviously Day of Truth wasn't around back then, so what was your experience in this, and what, you know, do you look back and say a conversation like this maybe would have helped me talk about XYZ?
Absolutely. As a teenager growing up in the mid-80s and such, at a time where you were not talking about this, especially in the culture and community that I grew up in and within the church, you did not talk about the issue of homosexuality. The only time I heard it referred to was in a very condemning, harsh way. I was also a victim of bullying and teasing, and this is something else that Day of Truth is really strongly promoting, is very much an anti-bullying and anti-harassment message for those students who may be gay identified that are struggling with this, and that we're stepping up as believers in Christ and extending the love of Christ to everyone, regardless of what issues they are struggling with. But for me, I know that having that conversation at a younger age would have been immensely helpful if someone would have just talked about it openly or had a conversation with me. It would have probably deterred me from going down a path I never really ever wanted to go down. It wasn't until I was about 26 years old that I heard about somebody for the first time in my life telling me that they had walked away from homosexuality and that they were pursuing a life in Christ that was free of that, and I did not even know it was possible. So we have to begin to talk about these issues. We have to get that conversation out there because many people's lives are depending upon it.
Sure. So what's your encouragement or even advice then, Jeff, to young adults who want to do that, but maybe they're fearful because they feel like, well, I don't have the right terminology, or I'm not going to be able to say something correctly, or I think that what you're saying about the difference between this is not just an issue. There are faces here. These are people. These are people that need love. These are people that the Lord loves, obviously. And I think, those of us who have homosexual friends who are in our lives know them as people. But it's so hard, I think, when we talk about this, when we have an event and stuff like this, to make it to get beyond just the issue or to get beyond the cause, quote unquote. So what would you say for young adults and students who want to love those in their acquaintance and really, really get this conversation started? What's the best way to do that in love and making it more about the people?
Well, I think that, first of all, you brought up the point of sometimes feeling ill-equipped and not having the vocabulary to talk about the subject. Go to the website, dayoftruth.org, and look at the materials that are there. And we've got it laid out very simply of some frequently asked questions and ways to talk about this issue and get a good grounding in the subject matter. The truth is that the root cause and the root issues that drive homosexuality, that are part of homosexuality, are really the same root issues that we all struggle with. We are seeking to get a legitimate need in an illegitimate way, and how many of us can identify with that? Everyone has got something that they're struggling with. So don't feel that just because you've never struggled with this issue that you can't connect with someone. Everyone has a struggle. Everyone has a story, and everyone has a trial that they have walked through, and we can identify on that premise and that basis. And then getting educated, identifying with them in that way, and then also making it about relationship. Don't make it just about an event, but make it about relationship. Everyone has got someone in their inner circle, in their inner sphere, that they know that they can talk to and know they can connect with, and that's where you start. That's where you begin. And then also, go to your youth pastors, go to your singles pastors, those people that are educated and equipped in the Word, and ask them to help you and to partner with you to know how to communicate this in a very loving and biblical manner.
Yeah, that's good. What, just one other scenario, kind of, Jeff, for you to help us with. What about a self-identified Christian, even evangelical, who is homosexual and basically has now embraced that, who has, I guess, from my perspective, what I would say, given up the fight in that? What's a way to enter into conversation on that front?
I think that starting out and reminding them that Jesus still loves them, regardless of what they're struggling with, regardless of what they may be involved in that, that does not change the fact that, the love of Christ is still there. And I think that, for those that are Christians, we do have to challenge them when they are walking away from what we know to be biblical truth to say, how have you reconciled this behavior with what Scripture says? I think we have to be strong enough to come out and say, out of concern for who they are and out of concern for their relationship with Christ, to say that I don't think this is the best for you. This is not what God has for you. And to challenge that. And we all need to be prepared and familiar with the gay theology that is out there that many are beginning to embrace, and being able to respond to that as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a, Wow, it's a lot to take on. I mean, it's definitely you know, education to get that, to get the information that's necessary, and to really, you know, I think get back to the Word of God and understand not only, like you said, a correct theology in light of this, but also an understanding of God's love for people and how we can address people where they are in their need and what that actually looks like. We did an interview several weeks ago now with a guy who came out of an addiction to porn. And it just reminds me of that, you know, where it's the church has so historically either not talked about it or made it something just like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. Or it's been so, you know, we get so crazy about it that it's like we can't talk about it, just as you said, that it's another example of something that people struggle with. And you know, I think if we look at sin, you know, it really falls in a number of or very few categories, and we all struggle with some area of sin. And so, you know, to be honest about that and to be transparent in that, I think is a good way to go and really walk with one another as we explore that.
Absolutely.
So, okay, well, it is dayoftruth.org. This is, like I said, Day of Truth, sponsored by Exodus International. It's coming up on April 15th. So make sure that you check that out. Go to the website. Exodus just does a ton of great stuff. They are an amazing resource, amazing resource on this issue. And you guys are doing a great work there in Orlando, Jeff. I just thank you for joining us today and kind of giving us the scoop on what's coming up with this. And hopefully you guys will keep us posted on what you have coming up in the future. And all the best there as you work with churches right there, really on a grassroots level to, you know, this is really where, you know, you can meet people, I think, directly with their needs. So I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. It's great being here.
You always look around to find a way to make yourself into a head. Afraid to look inside your mind and find out that maybe you don't fit with everybody you meet, with everybody you see. Would you be surprised to find what's on the surface isn't what it seems? Or would you be surprised to find there's a story going on behind the scenes? With everybody you meet, with everybody you see. But you're free to be exactly who you are today. And I know in life it's sometimes hard to find your way. But you need to know that as you are okay. It's good to see you, 'cause you're beautiful to me.
Opening up this week's Inbox, I'm in the studio with Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey. Good to have you here. Thanks for joining us for this Q&A from a guy named Kyle, who is a youngster. I'm calling him a youngster.
I'm sure he'd appreciate that.
He would, yeah. No, he's young, but undeniably mature, I'm sure. So I'm going to read his question, and we'll find out a little bit more about him. He says, I'm looking to get married soon. Everything is great. My girlfriend has a real heart for the Lord. She challenges me and helps me grow as a Christian. I've grown up with her, and we've always had feelings for each other. With prayer and our parents' consent, we started dating a little over a year ago. My parents and I don't really share the same views on marriage. They think I should wait and get married after college when I have a career. I, on the other hand, want to get married within the next year. At some point, I need to sit them down and try to get their blessing. How can I do this respectfully? I am 19 and she is 20. We both have good jobs. I'm working full-time and going to school to get into the fire department, so I do have a plan for my career. I know that since we're young, we'll probably change through the years, but as long as we're committed to each other, it shouldn't be a problem. Anyway, can you guys help me out?
Well, that's good. You know, Kyle, we're seeing more of these questions. Obviously, a generation ago, we wouldn't have that many people asking a question like that because people were getting married in their early 20s, and that was kind of the average. My parents got married at 19 and 20, and you know, really, it was the people who were getting married much later who were the ones that were kind of looked at as countercultural. And so there's been a little bit of a revival of people who are getting married younger. The cover story of the Christianity Today article about the case for early marriage has stirred up a lot of these conversations. And so we've been seeing a lot of it on Boundless and even at the conference where Candace and I were just recently, had at least two couples come up and very similar age range, very similar questions. And two, just about all of them bring up their parents. And the parents in this case really are the ones who are holding up the conventional wisdom that maybe it's best to delay marriage, to wait until you get certain things established, get education and career, certain financial goals behind you. And interestingly, a lot of those parents did get married young. They got married at 19 and 20, and they're the ones saying, well, maybe we got married too early. Maybe it's best for you to wait. But I think Mark Regnerus brought up great points in his article about the sexual temptation and how, you know, it doesn't matter how great your intentions are about the benefits of waiting, that sexual temptation is still very strong. And also just the issue of how much are you going to change, and is that really a deal breaker? Because there are some people who say you shouldn't get married until after 25 because you're going to change so much and you're going to be a different person that, you know, you really don't know who you are yet. But the pushback on that has been, well, isn't it better to grow as one, as two people, instead of to become so hardened in your single identity that it's then to become harder to become one with another person? So anyway, I know that's a lot of stuff to put out there in context. The key question that you're now asking is, how do you move forward with the blessing of your parents? Because your parents are key in all of this. Their blessing is significant. If, you know, obviously it is possible to get married without a parent's blessing, but it makes a big difference in terms of what the rest of your life is going to look like, especially when kids come along. I think it's one of these things where you probably are fighting against conventional wisdom, where you do have to earn their trust, that you do have to communicate that you are ready for the vows that you're about to make, that you're not moving forward in rashness and immaturity, but to also communicate, to say, hey, this is something we want to do together, that we want your blessing, we want to be in relationship and have you be a part of the process of mentoring us and helping us to mature to the place we need to be.
Yeah, I think there's a certain interesting cultural context in this. When I think of like my parents' generation, where men especially were either getting quick degrees or, you know, going to certain trade schools or whatever, and then going into that company forever and ever and ever, or that factory or that. And that kind of, I think, bred some stability or an understanding of that was a little easier to take. Whereas now a parent looks at their adult child and they're like, you have so many education options. You have so many, you know, people are switching jobs so much. Every person coming out of college all of a sudden wants to be a consultant. You know, it's kind of this whole free for all. But I think, you know, and I think this is to your point, Steve, what you said, I also, and I don't know where Kyle is. Kyle, I mean, I'm just assuming that you're a mature young man who's just godly and has mentors and is just trucking along. So that's great. And then I'm totally on board with Mark Regnerus and what Steve's saying. And I also think that, you know, I always counsel younger friends of mine that, you know, I know so many people that try to, hit the ground running in marriage and fill their homes with Ethan Allen furniture, and they try to aspire to some like standard of living that is not even attainable for most people, let alone a 19 and 20 year old. So starting out with the orange crates is awesome. I just think that it is, you know, something to consider, especially, you know, in taking in the wisdom of your parents and mentors around you to say, you know, okay, well, let's look at this and this and this. And maybe there are markers that they want you to show on the front end. But I don't know, Steve, what do you think?
Well, you know, think of it like this. I think there was a time in history where up to a certain age, your age made you, like up to around 18 or 19. And then after that, you make your age. You really define what maturity looks like at that age. And when you live in a culture where the expectations have been lowered so much that somebody in their mid-30s can almost have the same expectation of maturity as someone at 19, that you know it really is your responsibility to live up to those maturity expectations. And I think, you know, what your parents and her parents are looking for is, do you have the aptitude for the responsibilities, for the maturity? And I think it's incumbent on you to demonstrate you're ready for the vows. You're ready to make that commitment. You're ready to show responsibility in the workplace and in other places. But I think a factor here is that there is a cultural bias that almost implies that there is a magic age, and that there is a certain level of achievement you can make as a single person in education and career. And then when you have it all together, you then go get married. And we forget, and I think a lot of parents forget, how important marriage was in helping them achieve those goals. That for all the stories of the person who goes out and gets all that done as a single person, there's plenty of stories of people who are hanging out in their parents' basement and just can't get off the starting line. And simultaneously, people who did get married young, and that was the structure they needed to help them finish those educational goals and those career goals. They needed that that structure. And frankly, they needed a safe place to direct their sexual energy and not in trying to stay forever single when they've got this great marriage opportunity in front of them with all the sexual temptation that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we've definitely seen that over and over again, that marriage does mature. We've seen that in stories as well as in the research that you've said. But all right. Well, we could talk about this forever. In fact, we could just talk about it, and then he'll be 26 or 27 by the time we're done and everyone will be happy. So who knows? No, just kidding. Kyle, go ahead and, you know, hopefully this advice is helpful to you. Continue to talk to your folks and listen to their wisdom and let us know how it goes. Hopefully this has given you some good insight. And those of you out there who are considering marriage as well, if you're younger or, you know, moving into your 20s or 30s or 40s. Okay. Anyway, so thanks a lot, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. That is it for this week's show. We enjoyed having you with us again. Thanks so much for being here. That is it for the inbox portion. Of course, we want you to write to us at editor@boundless.org to submit your question so we can address it on a future episode. And just write to us and say hi too, because we're heading into spring and we need some new, you know, just new shout outs and content here on the show to say hi to you. So that is all I have. Until next week, I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org, focused on the family.